Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of the chief causes of religious division is the failure to rightly divide the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. People do not handle the word of God aright. Scriptures can be handled wrongfully, and they can be handled correctly. Now, the Bible presents to us three distinct dispensations. A dispensation is simply a system by which God governs man for a certain period of time. God is the same, but the systems by which he has governed mankind has not always been the same. There has been what we might call the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, and the Christian age. Now, we're not going to take the time to show all the distinctive characteristics of each one of these, but we simply take note of these three dispensations to emphasize we must rightly divide the word of truth. Many have fallen into the error of combining these dispensations, and they fail to make the distinctions between them. They will take part of one, part of another, mix and mingle, and the result is confusion, inconsistency, religious error, misunderstanding. And many false doctrines have their origin from this effort to combine the dispensations. False practices also come from that source of error. For example, under the Mosaic system, the Jews were to observe the Sabbath day, and that corresponds to our Saturday. Some have today taken from the Mosaic age and attempted to bring that day into the Christian age. But the Jews were taught to observe it, but Gentiles were never taught to observe the Sabbath. The Jews were taught to tithe. Now some teach tithing today as a part of the Christian faith, but the Christian faith does not give us the percentage to give. Some have special holy days, a special priesthood, instrumental music, other relics of ages that are no longer binding upon us. They have taken these things, they've employed them into the faith of Christ as if they belong there, for which there is absolutely no authority for doing so. Now many can find themselves in a dilemma by partaking of part of the Mosaic age, but they're not willing to take all of it. They're willing to leave portions of it behind. For instance, they'll leave off the laws that demand animal sacrifices, pilgrimages to Jerusalem, the observance of the Passover, restrictions on travel, death by stoning to an adulterer, several things that will ignore that while they want to bind the Sabbath day. But in reality, what they have, well, we might call it a supermarket approach or a cafeteria approach to the Bible, by which I mean they go through the Bible and they pick and they choose what they prefer, what their denomination might accept, taking what they happen to like, and leave out what they don't want. They fail to note the differences between the covenants and the time of their validity and their authority. Some have even invented classifications of the laws of the Mosaic law, calling them ceremonial laws and moral laws. Well, actually, the Scripture does not make such a delineation. It doesn't speak of different times of the termination of some of these laws. Now, it's true that some of the laws are moral in nature. It's true that some of them are ceremonial in nature. But the Scriptures do not teach that some of them were set aside and we are to hold on to others. The law has been set aside. We shall not be judged by those things of the old law. Moses' law is not that which Christ has bound upon us, and we are to be obedient to Christ, not because of Moses, but according to Christ. Some of these laws are incorporated in the doctrine of Christ, but we follow them because of Christ. Now, too many just simply fail to separate these two systems, and Christianity is not a Jewish religion. It's not a P.S. tacked on the after religion of the Jews. It's a new faith that's founded on Christ and on his authority. Now, today, We live and we are accountable to God under the Christian dispensation. Friend, the old law has been abolished, Ephesians 2:15. It's been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. We're not to be judged by the old law, Colossians 2:16. It was never a binding upon the Gentile people, and it's no longer even binding upon the Jewish people to whom it was given. Christ fulfilled that law. He accomplished the purposes of that law, Matthew 5:17. The Scripture teaches us in Galatians, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which would afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And now notice, but after the faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Galatians 3:23 through 25. We are dead to the law, Romans 7, verse 4, and that even includes such a law as thou shalt not covet, which is the tenth of the Ten Commandments. We're not bound by the Ten Commandments. We're not to covet, but not to covet because Christ forbid it, not because it's in the Ten Commandments. Some who make an unwarranted distinction between the ceremonial and the moral laws would bind the ceremonial law of the Sabbath. And this kind of inconsistency shows the fallacy of just such a doctrine. The authority of God for man is now through Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. All authority belongs to Christ. Matthew 28:18. He is the one that we are to hear rather than Moses or the prophets. Matthew 17:5. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. John 1:17. It is not the law of Moses by which we are made free. We are made free by the truth of Christ. John 8:32. We're not to murder, we're not to lie, nor steal, or commit adultery because of the authority of Christ, not because the law of Moses forbade it in the Ten Commandments. Some of the teaching of Moses and of Christ are identical, to be sure. They are similar in many natures, but still others are quite different. Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and according to the authority of Christ, pictures the relationship between the law of Moses and the law of Christ in Galatians chapter 4. In verse 21, he urges that would still those who would bind the old law, they should listen to the law itself, because the law explains its own relationship to the new covenant under Christ. In verse 24, it calls for the relationship of Sarah and Isaac on the one hand, and Hagar and Ishmael on the other. He called it an allegory, a figurative representation, a comparison, a means of conveying a truth symbolically. You see, Abraham had two sons, one by Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid, born of the natural law of procreation, and his name was Ishmael. The other son was Isaac, born by Sarah, a child of promise, born unto his parents after they were beyond the years of childbearing, and a result of the intervention by the Lord. In verse 25 and 26, Paul tells us that these two women and their children, they represent two covenants. Hagar and Ishmael represented the law of Moses, while Sarah and Isaac represent the law of Christ. Now Paul says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Hagar is that which was given at Sinai, but Sarah is that which is from Jerusalem. Ishmael was older than Isaac, and he persecuted Isaac, and this was more than Sarah would permit, and she demanded that Hagar and Ishmael be cast out. Verse 30 says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Friend, Ishmael was not to share in the inheritance with Isaac. So it is with the two covenants. Those of the old covenant of Moses, the Jews, were persecuting the church as they followed the old law. But the old law would not share in the inheritance with those of the new. the old law would be cast out, as was Hagar and Ishmael. The old covenant was no longer God's will for any man, Jew or Gentile. The life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord, and the events from Pentecost, has brought the old law to an end. It instituted the new covenant through Christ, that perfect law of liberty, and the forgiveness of sins through Him. And the conclusion of this allegory is simply this. So then, brethren, we're not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The way to serve God today, the way to glory, the road to heaven, it's Christ, not Moses. The way of the cross leads home. Now, this is not to say that the old law has no significance at all for today. We're taught that it provides examples from which we can learn things, Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. And we learn much of the nature of God and His dealings with mankind from the events and the laws of former ages. Those things were given through Moses. They served their purpose. They accomplished what God intended to accomplish by them. But even so, having served its turn in the gradual unfolding of God's scheme for the salvation through Christ, it's no longer the law under which children of God are to live and to serve and will be judged. Now, while various principles of truth are found in the old law, the specific ordinances of God are now given by the authority of His Son. That's the point we need to understand. And unless mankind recognizes this distinction, people will continue to have the mixture of the two covenants, the confusion in religion that dominates so much of the religious thought today. Friend, the old law could not accomplish salvation because the blood of animals cannot take away sins, Hebrews 10:4. But the blood of Christ can and does, Hebrews 9:12. It was the law that defined sin and condemned sin from Moses, but it did not make provision for the removal of sin like does the law of Christ. The law of Moses demanded sacrifices year by year, indeed day by day. They did, as it were, roll sins forward, but only to the cross of Christ. But the sacrifice of Christ was once, and it was sufficient to provide for the forgiveness of sins for all mankind. You see, the allegory that Paul taught there in the book of Galatians, and you should read it in Galatians 4, the allegory of the covenants is really an inspired revelation through Paul on the subject of religious authority. What we do is to be done by the authority of Christ, Colossians 3:17. And it is to Him that God has given the preeminence over all things, Colossians 1 and verse 18. And so we do not borrow from one dispensation and be loyal to the authority of Christ at the same time. We don't borrow from any other religion. We don't borrow from the doctrine and the teachings of men. We don't borrow from the creeds and the disciplines and the catechisms and so forth that men have written for their various churches. We subscribe to the authority of Christ. You remember when Christ was transfigured in Matthew chapter 17? That's when God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then He said, "Hear ye Him." And if we rightly divide the word of truth, we will make the distinction between the time of the patriarchs, the time of the Jews under Moses, and the time in which we live under the authority of Christ. This is a burning fire. Until next time.